Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Sudas. Sudas is a philosopher, retired teacher and co-founder of Osho Risk, a beautiful meditation center in Denmark. We are going to talk about how to create a meditation center in the middle of nowhere in a cold country with little money and turn it into a thriving place which attracts thousands of people from all over the world. Sudas, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good.
To start, Sudas, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Ireland, in a small town in Ireland, and had a normal kind of Catholic upbringing and so on. And then in my teenager years and early 20s, I went to university and, of course, I was studying philosophy. I had the luxury to study philosophy and to consider many of the kind of ideas that were informing society at the time. And, of course, the 70s was a time of big change. So that kind of put me on a different track, you could say, than the original good Irish Catholic upbringing which I had. So it made me very curious about other bigger movements in the world. And making a longer story very short, I ended up finding my way to Osho and coming to Pune in 1978.
Tell us how you have come across Osho and what happened then.
Well, it was funny stories for him. I was kind of having a summer job. I was studying in Dublin at that time, and I was having a summer job in a hotel in Copenhagen, which was, of course, a very exotic society for me at that time, having grown up in a more conservative kind of country like Ireland, which Ireland was in the 70s. When I was working in Copenhagen, one of my work colleagues was actually Osho Sannyasin, and I had, of course, already been developing some kind of alternative interest at that stage of my life. I was around 24 years of age or 23, 24 or something. And I was kind of pretty open to experimenting with different things and was curious about all kinds of stuff. And my friend turns out to be a sannyasin. And well, that was a great kind of fortune. And we're actually still friends today, more than 40 years later. So it's been a very enriching thing for both of us that we met each other at that time. So he kind of basically pointed onto the track of Osho and made me curious. And then, you know, through different synchronicities and so on, I kept, strangely enough, kind of running into Osho books and Osho people and all that kind of stuff. And that was kind of the magic of the moment, you could say. And finally, it kind of tipped me over. And then before I knew what I was doing, I was sitting on a bus from Istanbul to Kabul, something like that. And on the way to one of the biggest adventure of my life.
As I mentioned before in the introduction, yeah. You are one of the co-founder of Osho Risk, which is a wonderful meditation retreat in Denmark. What brought you from Ireland to India all the way to Denmark, starting an Osho meditation center?
Well, what had happened at that time was back in 1986, a couple of sannyasins bought this place with the intention of kind of doing courses and Osho therapy and meditation and so on. And I heard about it. I was living in Copenhagen at that time. And I said to my girlfriend, I want to go and have a look at this place. And so I will go over there for the first summer festival, which was happening in 1986. And at that time, I had been learning a little bit about cooking and so on. I was becoming interested in how to make food for the first time in my adult life because I hadn't kind of gone into that so much before. So when I arrived at the first summer festival here at Osho Risk, And it was all very unstructured, very new and very chaotic and very, very exciting and energizing and a little bit kind of crazy, perhaps. One of the things was there was no cook for the festival. So, of course, I immediately jumped in and said, hey, I'm really a great cook. Actually, I wasn't a great cook, but I kind of took that jump. And together with one other person, this woman who had come on a bicycle from Copenhagen with her partner, she and I, we became the cooks for the first summer festival. And both of us actually are still here today. So that's kind of making a very long story shorter. But it gives you a kind of picture of the spontaneity and the kind of a little bit maybe of the crazy energy of that moment. But I knew when I came to this place that, oh my God, this is something here that I need to stay here, you know. And that's actually 32 years ago. And if somebody had said to me 32 years ago that you will be here in 32 years' time, I would have said, you know, you're crazy, you know. But actually, it turns out that it was me crazy in a way. So here I am 32 years later, and I still feel cool to be here. I feel kind of engaged, and it's a very natural thing for me to be living here, actually, in many ways.
Many times in my life, I've been thinking of quitting my profession and living a meditation place like Osho Risk, but it's not as easy as it may seem. What, in your experience, are the challenges in regards to communal living?
Yeah, I mean, if you think in terms of communal living, of course, it's a bit like being in a relationship with about 25 or 30 other people. You know, most of us find it difficult enough to be in one relationship, like a relationship with one partner. But actually, you have to somehow consider a whole lot of other people and everything. And but I mean, of course, it's a very a beautiful thing also that you have this whole dynamic and big family feeling and, you know, a lot of interaction and enormous supply, like what you call pooling of skills. You know, like I sometimes think that the skills of all the other people in the commune, they're also my resources, you know. So, of course, that's another part of it. But of course, there are difficulties with communication, and we all have our egos, you know, and our points of view and our investment in our way of seeing things and our way of doing things. And I've had many experiences during the years where we've had to really sit down and listen to each other, you know. We've really had to train our listening skills. Just to kind of sum it up a little bit, commune life is not really for everybody, you know. And I don't understand that I can be still here after all these years, but I mean, the main passion for me is with the meditations and that we meditate together. And this is kind of the substance which feeds us and gives us enough nourishment so we can find a way to overcome the other kind of obstacles of practical living and all that stuff.
You must be living a very intense and rich life. For me, just having one partner is enough. You have 20 plus. So that's real challenge.
Yeah.
And but it's beautiful, and I like the last element you added, because for me also the secret of my long-term relationship is meditation. How did you manage to make Osho Risk financially healthy? And how did you go about the financial challenges of running a commune in an expensive country like Denmark?
Well, of course, we had to create our own financial model of how you have a place like this to exist. So putting it very bluntly to you, most of us who are involved in risk, it's a voluntary engagement. So I don't take any money out of being here. And I do this basically for my own growth, just to use a kind of a formality about it. And so I think of it in a way as a luxury, you know. I know there are other people around Europe and so on who somehow have managed to make a meditation center into a kind of professional working environment. But we chose early on in RISC not to have a system where we paid, or that our goal was to make a kind of a livelihood from offering courses and meditation. So, of course, that brings up the whole factor of how do you finance yourself if you are part of this operation. And my own kind of personal story with that is that I had a full-time teaching career for 25 years outside of RISC. I went to work every day, and I was teaching in this Danish system. And by the way, I really, really love being a teacher. I had enormous fun. I retired a couple of years back. I always said to people that I went to school to relax from RISC. And then, of course, the converse was also true, that I went to RISC to relax from school, you know. So in a way, it's really about finding what kind of activities will energize your own life. And I think that's very unique for everybody, you know. And of course, the ultimate background to contain all of that, you know, different role playing and identities and everything, is to have the ground of meditation to kind of keep you in a space where you're able to function in all in different kinds of realities, so to speak. But I mean, in terms of financing RISC per se, we have been very lucky that we're part of the Osho Global Therapist Network, so to speak. So we have been very honored that some of the best OSHA therapists in the world have been coming to hold courses here and trainings, and somehow the rumor spread that, okay, OSHA RISC is a place where you experience a very high quality of program, and so people start coming here. So we're kind of somehow ended up in that business. I mean, there was no like big plan initially. It's just something that developed. So it had this very organic development.
What would be your advice to someone who would like to open a meditation center like RISC, but is a little bit concerned about communal living, finances, and all the rest?
My kind of understanding and experience is that you have to really have an intention about what you're doing, of course, because if you really want something to happen, you need to be kind of focused in some way. To start something, you, of course, need a vision, and you need to know what you're doing, and you also, in terms of creating whatever, you need to have an income, which is, of course, going to support the practical running of what you are offering, you know. I think somehow you need to get clear about the financial viability of what you're setting up, you know. It's no good buying a property which can accommodate 20 people if there are only five people who are the right five people who are interested. But I just mention kind of an insight I have here at RISC about this business of groups functioning together, because we tend to think, we talk very much in modern life about democracy and all that stuff, and you know, making room for everybody and all this. But my own kind of take on RISC is that the most profound meeting point for all of us in RISC is not through words, but in silence, in the meditations. That's where we really experience the democracy of being together, this point of being able to be silent together. So I would suggest to anybody who was going to start something to be very keen that you get to know each other and are comfortable to be silent together and have a sense of kind of what is your passion in life, you know, what's your deepest truth, really, you know, and to be willing and able to share that. And that, of course, also includes, you know, reservations that I have to be able to share with the people that I'm with that, hey, you know, right now I don't trust you, or right now I feel this, or right now I'm getting paranoid thinking that you don't want me to be part of this or part of that. You know, there are all kinds of things coming up. So actually, before people start anything together in a bigger context, I would definitely suggest that they do some kind of weekends together, or getting to know each other, or meditating together, or, you know, so you kind of develop. It's like having a baby, almost, in a way. A project is a baby. So you need to be able to have enormous love for the project, you know. So the people who live in risk, they're not living here because of me, or I'm not living here because of them, but we're living here because we love the project that is Osho Risk.
So let's move on and talk a little bit more about you and your activities. So in addition to managing the commune, I know you organize, for example, the Winter Festival. Do you offer any workshop in particular?
I have been assisting so many of the programs in RISC for the years, but my focus has very much been on the administration of Osho RISC. So, since I retired from my profession as a teacher some years back, I have more time to go into considering how to share, you know, come out to other people and share what I've been doing and experiencing in RISC. So, for example, I will be going to England, to Norfolk, in next month, and offering a kind of a weekend meditation event. So my feeling is when I have more time and stuff and so on, I will be very happy to start moving out and to... It's really like a meeting. I find it very a rich exchange, is to come out and share what I have learned in RISC and what I know from my own personal meditation and my own, if I use the word, passion for meditation, and my gratitude to Osho, I would also say, is to be able to share that with other people, because that has really kind of given me an enormous, unexpected gift in my life. And I'm very happy to come out and just hang out with people and say, you know, hey, this is something I do, yeah.
When I was at RISC, I noticed you were talking to a young guy, and I had the impression that you were giving him some sort of training or some kind of mentoring. Is mentoring young people part of what you do at Osho RISC?
I don't remember the exact situation you're referring to, but something where we have really making a new focus, especially here in the coming 3 years, is kind of part of our plan, if you like, or part of our vision for this place, is to have very well-developed and functioning program for younger people who would be interested to come and to experience, fundamentally have an experience of Osho's meditations, and also experience kind of an alternative lifestyle. And there are many areas where skills can be developed above and beyond the actual, whatever engagement you're in or whatever you're doing here. It's really to give a feeling of how you communicate with yourself around your own way of doing things, and also what comes up for you in your interaction with other people. We're very happy if younger people come here. And right now we have a group of about seven younger people from around Europe. And it's lovely to have younger people staying here also. I mean, a lot of us are getting older, so it's a great joy to be able to share this place with them and also give them the space so that we can maybe learn something from them. It's not like a one-way street. It's a two-way street. So I love when younger people come here. I can also learn from them, you know. So it's a sharing space, really. And mentoring is really about sharing, you know. Yeah, we have the worker program. That's actually what I was referring to with these younger people. And we have a website, which is basically just called osho-risk.com. And all the information is there on the website. So if there's anybody in Europe or anyone who wants to come to Europe for a while as part of that program, I mean, you're very welcome. You know, we're pretty laid back here and we're not so formal people, basically. so we kind of, you know, Osho's great dictum was easy is right. You know, and I was just saying to somebody recently that what we try here to go for in Osho Risk is we try to be sincere but not serious, you know. So what we do here is we try to do something sincere, but we're not trying to do something serious, you know.
Now you're trying to be serious and logical, but I know you're really non-serious.
This is not the real me you're talking to right now. If I could say, No, I can also be a little bit, since I can be very serious sometimes, believe me, where I have my serious moments as well. But it's true, I'm basically a kind of lighthearted person, you know, and a chatterbox and blah, 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 you know.
In Osho Risk, I really felt love energy within the people who live there, which is very unusual. When people live together for a long time, there is not always that flow that you would imagine and expect. But in Osho Risk, it's there, and I could feel it. And people are so welcoming. You know, I arrived, and people were really smiling and hugging and giving love. So it's a wonderful, wonderful place.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, you know. But, I mean, whatever we do in Risk, just two things about that. One is, you know, we do this for ourselves. You know, you can't believe the kind of personal experiences I get by living here in terms of my own inner development. This is the gift of the place. And we have to be able to see that this is for me as well. You know, the people who are getting a lot out of this place are the people who live here, you know. We're pretty friendly people, I would say.
What are your current projects?
This is the kind of a mystery of the whole story, you know, is Osho is always encouraging us to live in the moment, you know. You know, what the hell does living in the moment mean, you know? So right now we're having a big kind of tidy up project in Risk. And what happens in Risk very often is kind of a result of the people who are here at the moment and what kind of skills they're sharing. And we have a few people here who are incredible at tidying up, you know. That's one of the things that's just happening at the moment. So this kind of constant renovation and beautifying and so on. And in the longer term, of course, we have our trainings happening in Risk, which I am part of the administration of the training, you know, somehow that's like my kind of baby at the moment, is to take good care of this and talk with the people who might have an in. We make the place more and more beautiful for people to come here. And at the same time, we're very happy when people come here.
We are heading towards the end of the show, and I have three final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours?
Ah, the morning. Yes. I'm an A person, you know. So because, I guess also because of my profession, I was getting up early all my life. In Denmark, the schools start very early. So I continue that now, even in my beautiful retirement. But I'm also the baker in Osho Risk. So I get up every morning and bake bread. I have a huge mug of Ecuadorian coffee. And then usually choose either to be part of Osho Dynamic Meditation, which we have here at Osho Risk from 7:30 to 8:30. If I'm in a more quiet space, then I do what's called a silent sitting. We have different meditation areas in Risk. So I would go to this kind of beautiful room out in the end of the garden where I would just sit and close my eyes for 1 hour. So that's kind of my morning. And then officially the breakfast here is 8:30. And that's when people start gathering, you know, and then I kind of check in on the breakfast and maybe have a little chat with a few people and fill in on my plans for the day or hear about their plans for the day, stuff like that. Yeah.
Second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
I like very much the dynamic meditation after 40 years. And the reason why is because actually I have a very active mind, you know, and I can go in all directions and everything. So it's very good for me to kind of bring myself into that structure for 1 hour where I don't kind of run in 20 different directions at the same time. The other part about the dynamic is I find it incredibly cathartic in terms of you have your conscious stuff and unconscious stuff. And I'm quite amazed still what can pop out of the unconscious. You know, it could be some resentment towards somebody or some anger I was not aware of or some kind of bundle of desires I'm trying to repress or all this kind of mental, systemic stuff, which is part of me anyway, and also part of the collective maybe, you know. So it's a very healthy, nourishing space for me is to be doing dynamic and actually really seeing what is going on in my system.
Okay, last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean for you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
Well, I have to just define something here. Is to be very frank, I don't see myself as a pioneer. I feel like I'm a disciple of Osho, but I kind of assume that I am in the same position as everybody else. My search is of course, a personal thing and almost private in some sense. I never expected to meet someone like Osho. Of course, I feel very, very, very grateful for that. But I feel like I'm just at the beginning, you know, because I start to realize more and more and more and more the vastness of what Osho kind of had experienced and what he's pointing towards and everything. But just if you can get your foot in on the path, so to speak, it's already a good start, I would say, you know. And it's not easy to put in words, actually. And I'm just grateful for being a sannyasin and being a part of all this, you know.
Thank you so much for that, Sudha.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, Swaram. Thank you for asking me to be part of this.
Thank you, Sudha, and goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us. Thank you.